This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Valentine's Day. I think we're supposed to say that, right, to start off today. Happy Valentine's Day. Hope you have a Valentine in your life that you're celebrating with, and if not, then just Happy Valentine's Day to you. It's me. I'll be your Valentine today, right now. Here, Happy Valentine's Day from me, Sal Capaccio. There you go. It's not really, you know, it's not like an official, like, federal holiday. It's not like schools are closed. In fact, schools are open, and it's like the best when you're a kid. It's kind of like that awkward thing. You probably went through that, Josh, right? When you're in like middle school and you give out candy hearts or you give out the little cards, right?
Yeah, it was an interesting time back then.
So my son has today, like, you know, some schools, they don't give out candy or they do or they don't let you bring it in. I know everybody's got a different thing, but yeah. And then, you know, you kind of give someone a certain, the hearts that have the little things written on them. And, you know, when you're in like, fifth grade, sixth grade, heck, maybe you're in 11th or 12th grade. And you're like, oh, I want to give that girl or that guy this heart with has this little extra meaning on it or something, you know? And, oh, that one's from me. Or you get the cards. Those, remember those little tiny cards? Like you'd buy them in the packs and you'd have to distribute them. So by the end, I don't know if you guys did this. I mean, maybe this is way old school, Josh, what I'm about to say. But like when we did it back in the day, like, you distribute the cards, the Valentine's cards, and everybody had to get one. It wasn't like you were leaving kids out. I guess you could do that. But so at the end of the class, you'd literally have like 25 Valentine's Day cards.
Yep. It was the exact same thing back then for me. Like it was, we actually had like a mailbox in other rooms. Like if you had friends in another class, you could like go out and put it in the mailbox and then come back into your classroom. And like everyone in your classroom had to get one. But then if you could bring extras and give them to like, oh, my friends in the other class or whatever, like I don't know. It was a weird system, but like it was kind of cool. Just to like be like, hey, you got mail. Like it was kind of a fun thing to have, like when you were like, I don't know, in like third grade, like, oh, wow, I got mail from my friend across the hallway. And like we would do it for everything, not even just Valentine's Day. Like it would just be like random stuff that we would just put in these little mailboxes. It was kind of cool, but I think we only did it for like a year or two and then it just kind of went away. I don't know what happened, but
now they just text each other.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like now you just text your friend in the other classroom. I know there's a lot of debates about, you know, cell phones, but seriously, like that's what people are doing now. They bring their cell phone to school and they're like texting each other. Oh yeah, my friend's in the other room. I don't have to send a mail or anything like that. I do remember back at this time period, it had to be a middle school type of age where elementary school, I guess, I don't know, third, fourth, somewhere in there. And there was a girl I really liked, and she gave me a card like everybody else did. You get all these cards, and there's probably 12, 13 girls in the class or whatever, and 12, 13 guys in the class, whatever you got. And I just saved that one. Everything else, like at the end of the day, end of the week, whatever, you throw it out. I'm like, oh, no, I gotta save that one. And I like hid it. I hid it in one of like my dresser drawers as a kid in my room. And then I remember like a few weeks later, like my mom's like cleaning out the dresser drawer. She's like, oh, what's this card? And that was totally embarrassing. I'm like, oh, I don't know. It must have just like kind of fell in there. You know what I mean? And then you had to kind of give it up. I'm like, oh, yeah, I was going to throw it out. So that was a little embarrassing. But that happened. You know, I mean, hey, you know, you just had to, I wanted to hold on to it. I wonder what ever happened to that girl, by the way. Good morning. It is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you today on a Valentine's Day Friday and also a last day for me for a week here on the air. And then I'll be back at the NFL Combine a week from Monday. So let me just kind of set up what's happening so you know and you're ready for it, because it's going to come fast and furious after a winter break next week, which we're going to talk about in a little while. After winter break, which is a lot of winter break for a lot of people. And I know not everybody out there. I know some kids actually have school and it's not winter break for everyone. But next week's a big winter break for a lot of people. And it's a vacation break for me. I'll be gone. So Zach and Josh and Derek, I believe, all three of you are going to be hosting in this time slot next week, correct? Is that what's going on?
Yep, yeah, we're going to do a little rotational thing. I think okay. Monday it's me and Zach, and then I'm not sure in the other days, but I know Tuesday through Thursday is Derek and Zach, and then I'll still be here working the board.
Okay, so you guys will have 10 to 12, and you won't hear from me. I'll be gone, and then on Monday the following week, which is Monday the 24th, that is, excuse me, that is the NFL Combine, the start of it, the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Now, the Combine actually kind of doesn't really kind of officially begin until Tuesday, but because Sean McDermott is on the competition committee, which meets all week, just like last year, he's actually going to speak to the local media on Monday, February 24th. At 4 p.m. Our plan is to carry that live for you during Shope and the Bulldog. That will be the first time we've heard from McDermott, obviously, since the end of season press conference. So, you know, he'll be asked about James Cook and some other things around the roster. But if you want to know about, you know, James Cook and being asked, that'll be Brandon Bean. Now, Brandon Bean will talk on Tuesday, the 25th from the Combine at 2 p.m. My assumption is you'll hear that live on One Bills Live. But either way, I'll be at the Combine that week covering it, and we'll talk about it. We'll be on, and I'll be on in the morning show and the afternoon show. But that's the NFL Scouting Combine. The 24th is what it really going to start off here in Buffalo. The 25th, which is Tuesday, 26th and 27th, and then throughout the week. And then you have the workouts and things like that. And I'll be back here in Buffalo by the end of the week, by the time a lot of the positions work out. It's really more about talking with the GMs, talking with the coaches around the league, and talking with other media members. That's really what, you know, the whole the part of the Combine for me that's the most valuable is gathering that information. And then all the other, the testing and stuff you can watch and you can see, and we'll have all of that, and we'll get more into draft, and we'll talk more about like what people, you know, want to do in the 2025 NFL draft. That's going to happen in a little over a week. Next week is, like I said, winter break for a lot of people. So maybe you're going away. I'm going away. That's why today I figured it would be good to have Patrick Hammer on. Patrick Hammer, maybe you're going to be home all week. And I've heard about a lot of snow coming next week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, whatever. I don't know if it's how much snow, but we'll talk with Patrick Hammer today at 11:30 a.m. So we'll get with Pat today at 11:30 a.m. And if you're wondering what this weekend, next week into winter break is going to be like, myself, I will be on a cruise. And we'll be heading to the Western Caribbean, going to Mexico and some cities over there, going to see some really cool things, going to swim with some dolphins, going to be awesome, going to recharge the batteries a little bit, spend some time with the family after obviously a long, you know, football season. Very cool, very much looking forward to that, and going to have some sunshine. So that's where I'll be next week. But I can't go anywhere without having internet. I don't know if you know if you're like this, Josh, but no matter where I go, if I go on vacation anywhere in the world, like I tell my wife, I'm like, I have to be plugged in. I got to know if something happens. Like, who knows? If I find out, like, I do not want to be independent of the job. I might have to come on the air and just like, I don't care, I'm on vacation, I'm coming on. I mean, what if the Bills make a big move? Like, I need to know, or the Sabres. I cannot be detached like that. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. I went to Mexico a few years ago. The weekend the Bills played the Ravens and they had that big comeback, we couldn't get the game streaming anywhere. And we just kept checking our phones. And it was like the end of the game. And someone's like, I guess I'll go check. So he hops out of the pool and he runs back. And he's like, the Bills won. They made the comeback. And we're all like freaking out and everything. Like, it was an awesome experience. But like, it was one of those things where it's like, you can't watch the game. So you kind of have to like, you find out how much you're missing. Like, you find out, like, you're really, you know, not dependent, but I guess, like, kind of dependent on, like, what's going on in the game? I need to know. And, like, you can't watch it. So it was an interesting feeling. I never really had that because I've never been out of the country. So like every other place, you can usually find somewhere to stream it or find a restaurant that can stream it or whatever. But like, it was such a different experience for me.
2006, Sabres, Carolina Hurricanes. I was flying to Europe with my wife during game six and had no idea what was going on. And the Sabres won in overtime. Remember that game? Sabres won in overtime, game six.
That's...
like, I had no idea. I had to wait. Like, when we landed, wherever we... I can't remember the exact cities we went to, like, where we stopped over. Once we landed, I had to do that thing where I literally went to, like, I think even a payphone at the time and had to call, like, my cell phone. I didn't have service in Europe to go to my voicemail to check my voicemails. I had a friend leaving voicemails on my phone. And I had to go kind of punch in the code to find out what happened in the game. That's how I found out.
That's actually really cool. But that's the most mid-2000s story I've ever heard. Like, and I mean that in the nicest way possible. Like, it's just the funniest thing ever. Like, you had to call your voicemail on your own phone from a payphone. Yes. Like, it's just, that's awesome.
So that, and oh my God. And like, what are you supposed to do? Like, you plan a vacation, like it's hockey season. It goes so long. So you don't know necessarily, you know, when it's going to end. But I remember thinking after that, oh my God, I can't. And game seven, I don't remember watching game seven. I can't remember where we were. We might've been in Italy or in Germany at the time. We had gone over that way. And I don't remember exactly where we were during that day, but it was a totally different time. You know what I mean? Like the time slot, of course, because I'm so far ahead in Europe at the time. So yeah, for me, I got to be plugged in. So I'll know what's going on. And, you know, who knows? I do remember one year I was in Florida on vacation. That's only Florida and still East Coast time, United States, playing golf. And I believe that's when the Bills may have not traded Tyrod. Maybe they signed an extension. There was a trade they made. And I said, you know what? And I went on with Chopin the Bulldog. And I'm on vacation. I'm like, well, you know what? I just kind of need to talk about it. So those kinds of things happen. People have told me in the past, don't ever do that. Because if you go, like, if you work when you're on vacation, they're always going to want you to work when you're on vacation. I don't subscribe to that theory. I'm just like, I don't know. It's what I do. Someone wants to talk to me about the Bills. So, you know, they made this big move and my station wants me and I'm on vacation. But guess what? I'm just hanging out at a restaurant right now. So I'll give them a call and I'll go on for 20 minutes. So I don't mind doing that. Who knows what's going to happen over the next week or so. But yeah, that's where I'll be and then headed to the NFL Combine right after that. Also today, it is a birthday of sorts today. I just want to say on a personal note, today is, I don't know, I've been open about this. So I just want to say it because I want to thank the people who really have made my life much better. A year ago today, I received a pacemaker. And I don't know if, you know, how many people, you know necessarily that story, but I've shared it personally. There's nothing wrong with my heart. I had a condition. I still have, I guess, a condition where I passed out a lot in my life. And over the last, you know, like 5-6 years, I had a few really bad episodes where I passed out and I hit my head pretty badly. And back about 5-6 years ago, it was recommended to me that I had a pacemaker put in. And I was in my 40s at the time. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm too prideful. No way. That's for an older person. And then my cardiologist said, well, everybody who says that they don't want to do it, something bad usually happens when they have this kind of condition you have. And, you know, just letting you know, like, you're setting yourself up for something risky to happen. And I took that risk and I shouldn't have because I had another episode and I hit my head and I passed out, hit my head. It was a pretty bad scene and I got rushed to the hospital. And that was a year and a half ago. And I said, you know what? I got to do this. I got to get this pacemaker. I have this family. I have a son. I can't be like risking driving with him or my wife and something happens. So I'll always remember it happened on Valentine's Day last year. And, you know, because of the heart. And I went into last year and I got a pacemaker and I have one. I wear one. It's part of my everyday life. There's nothing that's changed about my life other than I never have any times where I feel like I'm going to pass out, which is awesome. So they did a great job. And everybody that was a team that helped do that and be a part of it in my life, I'm just forever grateful and thankful. I don't talk about it a lot, but I've been open about it. And I also want to say it's an opportunity for me sometimes on this platform or any platform to say, you know, we should all just take a look and think about our health. And never, I was too prideful. Don't ever be too prideful. You know, if it comes down to taking care of your body, taking care of your health, and, you know, being there for your loved ones. And, you know, don't be selfish. Don't be too prideful. And I was about 5-6 years ago when it was recommended to me to get a pacemaker. And I did that. And I shouldn't have been because I'm so thankful for it now. And I've done some work with the American Heart Association since then. I've learned a lot about pacemakers and obviously CPR and AEDs and all those things. And you know, the DeMar Hamlin thing that happened, I was on the field for that. So a lot of those, they've all kind of converged in my life in a lot of ways. So I just want to say thank you to the hospitals, the doctors, the nurses, the people, the cardiologists who over the last several years have been really kind of helping me along and got me to a point where I was much more comfortable doing it. And it's kind of the best decision I ever made in my life. And I will tell you this, Josh, after doing it, I never realized how healthy and fit I could be, because I've always been a healthy and fit guy. But ever since I got the pacemaker, I'm like, I'm going to make sure I just stay on top of everything. And I feel at 51 kind of better than I've ever felt in my life, which is really cool, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's awesome. It's I didn't even realize it was the year anniversary. I'm thinking back now. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, yeah, I remember that, you know, the day me and Zach, I think, filled in for you and everything. And, you know, yeah, it's just awesome, like, looking back on it and seeing how well it went.
It was an easy, quote unquote, procedure, right? When you think about things like that. I remember the one thing I remember, I'll tell you just to wrap up this story. The thing I remember about going into the hospital and, you know, they wheeled me into this room and I'm like, okay, this is going to happen now. Excuse me. And they gave me some, you know, anesthesia. And I remember just kind of talking with the doctor very briefly. And then literally, I remember going and back, being wheeled back into another room. And I said, are we about to start? And they said, no, we're done. You have it. It's inside your body now. I'm like, what? I had no idea. Like, that's how quick it happened. You know, so it was a procedure that kind of was way quicker and easier than I thought. But anyway, thank you so much. And again, another just reminder to everybody out there. If you're, you know, someone out there that's got something going on and you've been putting something off, just think about your loved ones. Think about your health and the people around you who care about you. And, you know, I'm so glad that I finally made that decision after putting off that decision for a while. 803-0550 is the number to call today. We're going to get with Sal Majorana at 11 a.m. Sal is obviously covers the Bills still. He's on the Bills beat, covers them over in Rochester for the Democrat and Chronicle. But also, can we believe it? It's baseball season. Zach, look outside your window right now. It's baseball season. Yeah, that's right. I know. Sounds weird, right? As I said, Zach, sorry. Josh, look out your window right now. It's baseball season.
Let's put on the ice skates. Get out
I know, right? I mean, don't the Bisons open on the 21st or 27th or something like that of next month? Like the Bisons, first game for the Bisons. Here we go. Let me get this for you. Hold on, this is crazy. I should know this. I'm going to look at this right now. In March, here we go. The 28th. Yep. The Buffalo Bisons play a home game on the 28th of March against Rochester. And you look, that is how many, like 5 weeks from now? It's crazy, right? It's amazing when you think about that. So yeah, they're going to be actually playing a game on that day. And it's going to be really interesting, you know, because baseball season's around the corner. Anyway, the reason I'm talking about that is pitchers and catchers have reported to training camp. Spring training, I should say. And Sal Majorana is a big Yankees guy, but big baseball guy. And he's got a great, great Yankees newsletter he puts together. This guy, it's free and it's a labor of love. I want to ask him about how the Yankees are positioned. You got Alex Bregman now signing with the Red Sox. What does the AL East look like? How about Soto going to the Mets? So we'll sprinkle in a little baseball today as we get towards February break and spring training happening down in Florida. As far as the Bills are concerned, so we had a report yesterday from Ryan O'Halloran of the Buffalo News that said he is reporting that the Bills have moved on from their strength and conditioning coach, Eric Ciano. And Ciano's been with the team for quite a while, since 2010. And that has not been confirmed, you know, by the team or anything like that. But there's obviously a report from a media member. And I think that immediately when people think about that, they go right to, well, because of injuries. And I've dealt with a lot of people this whole year, but even recently telling me, oh my God, too many injuries. Folks, the Bills were not very heavily injured this year. They just weren't. They're actually one of the healthier teams in the league. I wish more fans would stop looking at their team just through, you know, blinders and only that prism and look at the whole league. You have to compare the league. You have to look at what's going on in the league and what the actual numbers are. And while the injury report every week looked a little bit long, of course it was, you know, with certain, and it was with names, I should say, that's not how you determine that. A lot of those guys were, you know, they might have been limited participants, but you're managing them throughout the week. So I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's something with injuries. If this report is indeed true, I'm sure it's something with injuries. But I just want to remind everybody that the words strength and conditioning are two different words. There's two components to this. It's the conditioning, which is injuries as well. It's also the strength part. And I'm reminded of what Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott talked about at the end of the season last year, or just a few weeks ago, which is, you know, Dalton Kincaid and play strength, right? He needs to have better play strength. They want to get him there. And how Keon Coleman wasn't as physical when he came back from his injury. Now, that's not the same thing. I also think that, you know, we've taken a lot of calls over the years and heard from a lot of people saying the Bills are too light on defense. And I do think it's a fair criticism if you think they should be bigger and heavier. But my counter to that is, hey, you kind of have to do it one way or the other. Do you want to be that, or do you want to be more athletic to be able to go against these spread offenses? The Bills have kind of chosen that. They've chosen to be a little lighter and more athletic on defense. That's why I think, you know, Terrell Bernard is a smaller, undersized, if you will, middle linebacker. But I think he's really good at his job because you can keep him on the field for three downs. And he's very physical and he holds up against the run. Now, he's not as big, so he can get, you know, sometimes maybe there's a guy that can, you know, eat him up and swallow him up if he gets on him. But the guys like Bernard and Milano, what makes them special at what they do is they don't get in those positions, and they basically are able to run around those things or use techniques to get around those types of things. I do think on the defensive line, it's been something we talked about a lot with Ed Oliver. You know, Ed Oliver, is he big enough? Is he strong enough? The Bills have gone with a model on the defensive line of having a smaller interior. Now, Daquan Jones isn't small. He's over 300 pounds, but Ed Oliver certainly is. He's undersized, and they want to have penetrators, right? So then you look at, what about Greg Rousseau? Long, like, lankier guy, right? AJ Epenesa, remember when he came in the league, wanted him to lose weight, gain weight. There was this whole thing about all that. There's different things you have to think about when it comes to how you build a team and build a roster. And one of those things, I think, what I'm seeing now, if this report is true, and then tying it to also what the Bills did within the past few weeks, which is hiring new personnel on defense, like the coaching personnel, this guy Nielsen, who came over from Jacksonville and other places, Atlanta, and he has more experience in man-to-man. And then Mike Pellegrino reportedly coming over from New England as a secondary coach in some capacity, who also has more experience in man-to-man. And I'm trying to tie all of this together right now, and I'm trying to see the big picture of how they're building the organization and what they want, which is, okay, you tell me Dalton Kincaid needed a little more play strength, and Keon Coleman wasn't, you know, physical enough, and, you know, after the, and whether that is, maybe that's a separate bucket. But then I think about, okay, they're maybe shifting more to a man-to-man philosophy. And then if they are moving on from strength and conditioning, I think it might be more about the strength than it is about the conditioning / injuries. And it's very interesting to me. Now, you never know why teams make changes. Sometimes people are just in organizations a long time. They need a change. They need a different voice. That could very well be true, right? It doesn't have to be anything wrong, or they feel like, oh my God, we just weren't good in this area. Now, if you're great at what you do, it's going to be obviously something that you usually aren't going to make a change. But I wonder what the Bills' philosophy is going into next year, and if they're trying to make even more of a change in that regard. Do they want to get bigger and stronger? And maybe they're looking at that part of it and not just as much as, oh, this is about injuries or something. People talk about injuries all the time when it comes to strength and conditioning. That's what fans know a strength and conditioning staff to be about, is injuries, and they always relate it to injuries. I'm here to tell you, I think you've got to be careful with that. It doesn't have to always be about injuries. Now, there's got to be some of that. They did have a lot of wrist injuries this year. Someone said, oh my God, look at all the hamstring injuries. What hamstring injuries? They had a few. I mean, Bale Inspector seems to unfortunately always have a hamstring injury like once or twice a year. They've had some over the years with some guys, but really last year they didn't have a lot of that. They didn't have soft tissue injuries last year. The pec injury that happened to Terrell Bernard, thankfully he was back after a little while. And then obviously Matt Milano, the bicep, and that's one. And who knows, maybe that plays into a move like this. That was him tackling a bag and he wound up hitting his bicep on a human being, like a knee, a leg. That's what the way it was described to everybody. So who knows? There's always little things that add up throughout a year that could lead to something like that. But I look at, and I defended the Bills a lot last year on how many times people would say, oh my God, they're always so injured. No, they're not actually. The Bills actually, I think, led the league in fewest number of guys on injured reserve. They were one of the best teams in the league at not having guys miss games because of injuries. But certainly that's part of the component. Now, coming back from an injury, that might have been a bit of an issue. You have what they said about Keon Coleman, and then you have a guy like Dwayne Carter who didn't see the field after his wrist injury. Juwan Smoot, he has a wrist injury. How effective was he when he came back? Maybe not as much. Amari Cooper, I mean, that was the year of the wrist injury, right? I don't know how much a strength and conditioning staff is going to have to do with a wrist injury. It's not. They're not injuring the players. The players are getting hurt doing football activities, playing on a football field. So I do think that when you, if you see a move like that, and if it is true for the Bills that they did, you know, move on from their strength and conditioning coach and maybe even staff, I wonder if more has to do even with the strength part than the conditioning part. It's just something I was thinking about a little bit today. So, you know, just wanted to kind of throw that out there a little bit. All right. So that being said, I asked you the other day, what do you want from the Bills defense? Like, what do you want from the Bills defense? I'm going to flip it today. What do you want from the Bills offense? After hearing about Dalton Kincaid, after hearing about Keon Coleman, do you just need one speed guy to run down the field? Is that what you want? Do you want something else, like something about the running backs or the tight end position and Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox? It looks like the offensive line is in a really, really good spot. I have something on that I want to share with you in a little while. When we come back, we'll do that next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. 803-0550 is the number to call. I asked the other day, what do you want from the Bills defense specifically? My question today, what do you want from the Bills offense? 803-0550. Give me a call. Sal Capaccio with you on a Valentine's football. Can we call it a football Friday? I don't know. It'll always be a football Friday because there's always football going on back after this timeout on WGR.